Well, good afternoon again, everyone. Really good to be here with you at God's service. I'm going to start my stopwatch. Mr. Nunn set a good example there. I want to cover my material, but to end on time. Beautiful creation outdoors, many beautiful sights, many meaningful lessons. And all of this is a gift from God to us through the creation that He has given us. One Bible chapter contains not one gift, but nine gifts from God to Christians everywhere. Let's take a brief look at these gifts and see how we might appreciate them out here in the great outdoors. My hope is that we might expand our understanding of God's spiritual gifts out here in the wilderness and back at home too. Well, where do we find this list of gifts? It's conveniently located in one place in the Bible. There are other references to it elsewhere, but this one place has the nine gifts that I've been studying recently. 1 Corinthians 12. I invite you to join me at 1 Corinthians 12. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Here in verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. These are the gifts we're talking about. To another, the gifts of healings, plural, I like that fact, by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, as all of you know and probably have experienced, whole sermons have been given on each one of those individually. I'm going to cover them in brief detail here in my less than 40-minute message at this time with the clock running. The Believer's Bible Commentary says there is no belief that does not have a function to perform. And the gifts are given for the profit of the entire body. They are not given for self-display or even for self-gratification, but in order to help others. And this is William MacDonald who writes the Believer's Bible Commentary. This is a pivotal point in the entire discussion. It's not given for the individual, but it's given for others that they can serve. The first gift, wisdom. And where does it come from? Psalm 110, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. So you can just write that scripture down and maybe read and meditate on it later in the week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. And there's a call for us to obey God there. I want to read one passage where wisdom, also being tied with the second gift of knowledge, is presented to Solomon. You might remember the occasion. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, Ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon was being set up as a king of the nation of Israel there. Solomon said to God, You've shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. 2 Chronicles 1 verse 9. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established and you have made me a king over a people like the dust of the earth and multitude. Verse 10, he says, now give me wisdom and knowledge. And these are the first two gifts of the Spirit that are enumerated there in 1 Corinthians 12. That I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but you have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. So he asked for one modest miracle, as it were, and God said, I'm going to give you some other things too. Verse 12, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. James 1, verse 5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And as much as God poured out extra blessings on Solomon in asking for wisdom and knowledge, what might happen to us if we concentrate and focus our desires from God on wisdom and knowledge? Well, what does wisdom have to do with our camp out today? I invite everyone to use wisdom. Be careful out here in the open. Beware branches overhead and roots and rocks underneath. Walk with God at every step. So use wisdom at the campgrounds here. The rocks can be tricky as you step on them. And be careful. Seek wisdom and knowledge. No telling what else God might decide to give you. Where can we apply wisdom and knowledge out here this weekend? Proverbs 18:15. If you want to follow along there, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. Proverbs 18, verse 15. I'll turn there. Psalms, Proverbs 18 and verse 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So we can see that it's to our advantage to seek that particular gift. Seek wisdom and knowledge, and as Solomon discovered, no telling what else God might decide to give you. Seek to learn more knowledge at every turn in your path. You might ask yourself, well, what bird am I hearing? What insect is it at 4 o'clock in the morning out here in the woods that's chirping away? And there were about three of them going, some of them in harmony and a couple of dissonant voices. What plant is this? And there are people that know the various plants and can tell you what plant there is. Check and see. I have a quote here from someone about the wildlife refuge and the knowledge that's out here. Established in 1901, the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge is one of more than 556 refuges throughout the United States, managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The 59,020-acre refuge hosts a rare piece of the past, a remnant mixed grass prairie, an island where the natural grasslands escaped destruction because the rocks underfoot defeated the plow. The refuge provides habitat for large native grazing animals such as American bison, Rocky Mountain elk, and white-tailed deer. I think most of you have heard this story that several years ago up here at the camp out, we were preaching away and a bull bison walked about as near as the barbecue pit out there. We all were kind of holding our breath. One mom had an infant baby in a tent and the bison was kind of sniffing at the tent. She nearly panicked, but did not. And the bison moved on and just kind of ambled away. Texas longhorn cattle also share the refuge rangelands. As a cultural and historical legacy species, more than 50 mammal, 240 bird species out here, 64 reptile and amphibian, 36 fish, and 806 plant species thrive on this refuge website. Seek wisdom and knowledge. There's no telling what God may decide to give you. Seek to learn at every turn in the path. Like I said, what bird am I hearing? What plant is this? And we know there's plenty of them out here in the refuge. Gift number three in 1 Corinthians 12, faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for and things not seen. And how can one know if you have faith? Because you're looking at things not seen. And that's one of the very definitions of faith. We look to God to provide those things that we need and that we want. We don't see them now, but we have confidence that he's going to provide them for us. Also in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Romans 10, verse 17, I'll turn there, another teaching verse on faith, Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know how to build our faith, and that's to put our ears and our eyes and our heart in the Bible, because faith comes by hearing. Out here in the Wichita Refuge, do we have faith in God who created all these wonders? We need the gift of faith to appreciate all that God has created out here. Move on to healings, and God provides that for us as a gift. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is going to have a full measure of every gift, but I honestly believe that we all have a slight measure of every one of the gifts. And we know we're weak in some areas, and I would invite and encourage you to kind of take an inventory, ask yourself, do I have this gift? If not, what can I do? And if I don't have it, who else does? Look around and watch the brethren and how they use gifts of faith and healings. In Acts 15, verse 12, all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Now, did I skip one on healings? Knowledge, faith, healings. I've got a list here of one interesting story on healings. 1 Kings 17:17. 1 Kings 17:17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Eternal and said, "O Eternal, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Eternal and said, "O Eternal, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then Eternal heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. A healing here, a dramatic miracle. Verse 23, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of Eternal is in your mouth, and it is the truth.'" In Luke 9, verse 6, having to do with healings, Christ commissioned the disciples to go out into all the towns. Verse 6, "So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the gift of being able to heal people, to raise the dead? Now, as an elder, I carry a little bottle of oil with the olive oil, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with our practice of anointing with oil. And a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times you hear a good report that the person felt better almost immediately and they were able to get back to work on the job. There are other occasions, as we read about ill people, that God allows people to learn from things that they suffer, as Jesus Christ did. But that's just a small little gift of healings that we have as elders. And again, I'm not saying that you would get this gift and be able to raise the dead or heal the sick, but you can certainly look for people that have a Florence Nightingale type personality that can bring someone along and help and encourage them. And if somebody's sick, you can take this other person over to visit them. You not have the gift yourself, but you know other people who have a greater measure of the gift of healing. And certainly somebody who can comfort and who can talk in faith and encouragement can help people recover faster. Have I got time to tell this story? Yes. Most of you know my personal story. Back in November of 2013, I was diagnosed with melanoma cancer, internal, stage 4, metastasized, and I was given a generous 5 months to live. And this was back in 2013. Here we are in 2016. So I stand before you as one who believes in the healings that God makes available. And I just got hundreds of cards from all over the world and brethren all over the United States saying they were praying for me. And that was very encouraging. And I'm here to report that God is on the job with healings, and we can ask him to give us a greater measure of those healings. Out here today, what can we do about healings? Well, I encourage you to find out who has the first aid kit to patch any scraps or cuts. Barbara and I have been rummaging around in our materials. We had an official Lawton first aid kit. Does anybody have a first aid kit here? Okay, so we know who to go to. Tell me your name again.
Luke.
So kids, little ones, bruises, scrapes, bleeding. We've got a first aid kit. That's the nearest I can come to having a gift of healing, other than that little bottle of oil that's God's, symbolizes God's Spirit. Then, working hand in hand with healings, we also have the gift of miracles out here with us. That's another one of the gifts there from 1 Corinthians 12. And I read that about Barnabas and Paul declaring many miracles. They turned water to wine, walking on water, parting the Red Sea. There's a ChristianAnswers.net website that lists miracles, 124 miracles in a partial listing from the Bible. You can go to ChristianAnswers.net, look up miracles there. Where do we find healings and miracles out here in the camp? Most likely no one's going to walk on water or raise the dead, but we do need to be careful on the road, near the water, out of the trails. I know a family whose daughter was learning to swim, got excited, forgot that she didn't have her life jacket on, jumped in the water, and was seen at the bottom of the pool and picked up and not breathing. And they said that she was dead, but God restored her, and he used one of the lifeguards there who had a bit of a gift of healing. He had done his studies and got her back, and she swims again to this day. Prophecy. Moving on to the number 6 of 9 gifts. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So it's okay for us to want to improve our stock of gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks, we're moving into gift 6, which is prophecy, and prophesy and to speak. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies, and that's to speak God's truth, speaks edification, building up, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Listen for those with the gift of prophecy among us here at camp. They're the ones who know the pitfalls to avoid. More importantly, they're the ones who know where the good sites are for interest and fun. They'll prophesy and tell a story and bring you the truth about what's really good and fun to do out here. Watching my clock. I also believe that, not mentioned in these gifts, but in kind of looking at one, and particularly prophecy here of people who speak the word and God's word, I think that has to do with musicians who can sing and those who can play an instrument so expressively that it's like it's preaching a message somehow, somewhere in here, and you can meditate on these gifts. I believe music and talent of that nature is a component that we can benefit from. 2 Titus 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Moving on to the discernment of spirits, number 7. And I say you can start with discerning your own spirit. There is a spirit in man, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. And it says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And here's a gift, discernment of spirit. And I ask you to apply it to yourself first off and ask yourself, what am I doing with the spirit that I have in me to help and edify others? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God, and there's a spirit in man. And the next verse says there in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Do you have this gift of the Spirit? 1 Peter 3, verse 4. A gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Out here, we can discern the spirit of others and also the spirit of creatures. Is that coon going to come after me? Is that buffalo going to ravage that tent that has the lady's little infant baby in it? We have to be able to discern, but it starts with discerning your own spirit and knowing what God has given you and how you can use your spirit. Are you a comforter, an encourager, and build on those components? Tongues. This is 8 of 9. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. We read from 1 Corinthians 14 previously about prophecy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Take a moment or two here to talk about the gift of tongues. And I know that one thing it has to do with is people can speak other languages. And that's something that we can ask for a gift. There are people that can speak 2 and 3 and 4 languages. And certainly that's a gift of tongues, if they can do that. And I've memorized another number of passages, some from French and some from Hebrew, that I'll say a short one here, which won't mean anything to you until I interpret it. The other gift, number 9, interpretation of tongues. Hine matov umanaim shevadachim gam yachad. That means nothing to you, but it says, behold how good and pleasant it is that brothers sit down together. I think that's from Psalm 133. And what got me really interested in that, and I wanted to know the Hebrew, it's a song. Hine matov umanaim shevadachim gam yachad. If any of you have seen the movie Radon and Tebby, anybody here familiar with that movie? I'm kind of a promoter of that particular movie. And the theme song throughout the movie is that folk song from Israel. Hine matov umanaim shevadachim gam yachad. The commando troops were on an airplane outbound for 2,700 miles where they were going to make a surprise attack on the terrorists at Entebbe that had captured a plane and its passengers. And when you hear it from troops going into battle, it's just completely different from reading 133. Behold and good, how pleasant it is that brothers dwell together. It sounds like somebody's knitting a doily. But when you hear these troops all outfitted for battle going, Hine matov umanaim shevadachim gam yachad, and gam yachad means together, and they're sitting together. They're going out for a strike. And I'd encourage you to see the movie and how it turned out, and it was a successful strike. What's this thing making noise about? My time's not up yet. I've got 11 minutes. There are other things about tongues. You just tend to dismiss it. Well, certainly, if somebody's preaching things that nobody understands, what good is that? But I can tell you, you can pick up on another language and kind of learn a little bit story, maybe memorize some text. I was working with D-Bar Apartian. Anybody here know D-Bar Apartian? He was formerly with the Worldwide Church of God. He was director over the French work and program that they were doing. And as a member of the media there in Pasadena, I was assigned to help him working on subtitles for the World Tomorrow telecast and putting it into French. We had a couple of gals, and we worked all week long, and we got the subtitles together, and then we had Mr. Apardian approve everything, and then we worked on them some more, and then we asked him to approve them, we worked on them some more, and then we put the program together with the French subtitles, and he would watch it very closely, and I really enjoyed working with him. And God had given me a gift of tongues. I had studied French for 2 years, but it still was, I was not fluent in it, other than I could kind of absorb and understand, and I could correlate between the written subtitles and what was being spoken. I knew enough to know whether or not we were in sync or out of sync. And I had an opportunity there. I'll tell you this story about Mr. Apardian. He's a wonderfully kind-hearted man. I wish he were in our fellowship, but he's out there. And I'm sure he's doing something with the tongue of French, trying to encourage those particular brethren. When I was working with him, it was in the late 70s, maybe the early 80s, his son died. He died of suicide. And it was a real heartbreak for Mr. Apardian, and I was working with him in French, and I wanted to say something to him in French, but I didn't know what to say, so I kind of went to somebody, had a gift of tongues. We were working and volunteering with a lady called Nino Sivan. She's just a widow lady from Haiti, but she was in the upper class, and she was a knowledgeable lady on the French language, and I worked with her in the congregation, and she had a son who had a disability. He was a forceps baby when he was delivered and did not have all his faculties, and I used my limited amount of French so that I could help him in the congregation not to scare people. He would go up, and he didn't have appropriate behaviors. He would kind of grunt and ask them things and speak some Creole French, and people would back off, and they're wondering where the security people are to escort this person out of the building. And I was able to use limited French to basically kind of follow him around and reassure the person that he was talking to that he wasn't some kind of threat or danger to them. And when Mr. Apardian lost his son, I went to Nino Sivan and asked her, what can I say to Mr. Dibar Apardian in French that would really encourage him during this time? What can you say to somebody who just lost their son because he committed suicide? And she told me in high, flowery French, she said, je participe in votre douleur. Now there's a tongue that needs to be translated, and it was very simple. It says, I participate in your sorrow. Je participe dans votre douleur. And I made it a point to find an opportunity to tell him that. And I feel that was a gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So this is a gift, the ability to hear and understand when others cannot. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three in each turn, and let one interpret. So it's okay to use tongues in foreign language. Somebody can interpret and tell you what it's all about. And if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. And I have certainly spoken these phrases to God and asked him for the ability to use them in a right manner. If you have somebody out there who does speak another language, I might invite you to spend some time learning that particular language and listening to them. And if you have something on your mind and you know a friend next door who knows French or knows Creole or knows German, if you can learn just a little tidbit of a gift of tongues to share with them, that's worthwhile. So you might spend some time learning about this gift of tongues. So finally, brethren, we can go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and I would encourage you to do your own study. It's all right there in the first few verses, and it's the gift of wisdom and knowledge and faith and healings and miracles and prophecy, interpretation of spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and value those gifts. Inventory yourself. What gifts and part of gifts do I have? Who do I know that is really strong in an area that I might be weak? What can I do to ask? God says if you lack wisdom, ask, and he will grant greater wisdom. And wisdom was a hallmark that gave Solomon all of his riches. God said, what can I do for you? And he says, I want wisdom. I want knowledge. And he favored Solomon and told him, I'm going to give you beyond that riches and wealth and power that has not been seen in all the world, nor will be. So we certainly should be interested in those things. Finally, brethren, God has given his church an array of gifts so members may serve each other and our fellow man. Look around, see who has what gift, and steer problems or questions their way. If you don't have that gift, and you know that you're weak in that, but you know another person over here, here's a sweet widow who came from Haiti, who speaks wonderful French and can recite poetry, and if somebody else you know of French background, you can kind of bring them together. Spend some time identifying your own gifts so you can use them to the fullest. It's good to be out here in the great outdoors God shares with us. Now let us share the great gifts God makes available to us. Have a good Sabbath. On this gift, God has given us all today.